afternoon long of what's going on, including with the press conference that Tennessee will hold at 3 o'clock with the president, chancellor, and athletic director. President Philip Fulmer set to retire as AD, but still planning to kind of wait things out. They're going to have a successor come in. The report earlier today was he wants the successor to make a hire. Who's going to be the head coach in the short term, the long term? All of these questions are being asked as we're just 2 hours into this very conversation with Pete Thamel's report from Yahoo coming out just as we went on the air at 12 o'clock. But Tennessee, again, is set to look for another head coach, Heather, after 3 years that had some bright spots, but very disappointing results, no doubt, with Jeremy Pruitt.
Absolutely disappointing, and I think adding insult to injury at this point in time is the ESPN report that there could be multiple Level 1 violations that this attorney team was able to uncover during their internal investigation. And you're sitting here thinking, okay, so you could be really handicapping whoever is going to take over this job with, let's see if anything comes out of all of this. I'm sure it will, though, knowing Tennessee's luck. But then to know that, okay, there were the Level 1 violations, you had to have been getting some of those recruits, and you still went 3-7. Just what the heck happened there? So Tennessee is definitely in a mess. This is not foreign territory, unfortunately. And they've got to make now two, I think, home run hires when you're talking about an athletic director that's going to be able to come in and maybe make a few harder financial decisions when all is said and done, because I don't think that the finances were handled perfectly when Philip Fulmer was heading up the department, and now they're facing fallout.
Knowing where things are now,
they're facing fallout from the coronavirus, so that's going to be a big job. So you've got to hit a home run with somebody with forward thinking vision at the athletic director spot, and then you've also got to go out and find the best football fit as well. And what kind of timeline are you working on? Are you trying to do something in the next 30 days? Are you trying to do something in the next 10 months? It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Right. The biggest thing I wonder is what do coaches think about Tennessee? What questions do they have about the program with these violations that have been uncovered? And what exactly do they show? Are they violations related to the 2021 class, 2020? That's something to ask, I guess, as well. But I don't know. I mean, there's a huge unknown with the program. The program's not in great shape, despite what Jeremy Pruitt told us here in the last couple of months. Now they underachieved. The roster was better than going 3-7.
Yeah.
So you could turn it to a positive direction of, hey, they. But I also don't know what the roster is for 2021. There are probably some players who are thinking, wait, can I get out? Can I go hit the transfer portal right now and try to go find somewhere else to play as classes are set to begin at Tennessee on Wednesday?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is on the table. And whether you're just an early enrollee, you're part of this recruiting class, not supposed to show up till the summer, or you're an existing player like Henry Toto, everybody's got a decision to make. Are you sticking with the school, or are you going to look at other opportunities and then maybe take one of those other opportunities? So everybody, that's going to be subject to everybody that has to make that decision. And I hate it for them. This isn't the way you want to start off your spring semester with classes looming. But, you know, when you're moving forward, I also just wonder the guys that were really in the program. You're seeing a lot on Twitter, a lot of players coming out and just being shocked, because I think they really believed in Jeremy Pruitt. And a line from Chris Vanini's Q&A that he had with Butch Jones last week that we kind of referenced when he was on with us, Butch had said, when things fall apart, you're just sitting there, you're left in these shambles, and you're trying to self-assess, what did I do wrong? And that's going on right now from Jeremy Pruitt and also from the players. Like, how did things just go so wrong that they couldn't be recovered, that it's just over?
Now, here's something that's positive. Darrell Middleton tweets out, I'm locked in with my brothers regardless. That's a defensive lineman for Tennessee who has announced recently that he was coming back to Tennessee. He's also been very publicly supportive of Jeremy Pruitt. Caden Salter retweeted it and said, took the words out of my mouth. So there's good news for a quarterback who I think just landed in the last 24 hours after playing his championship game for Cedar Hill the past weekend. He's the highly touted quarterback, Caden Salter, on campus at Tennessee. Now, those are just a couple of players. We'll see what others think. Wanya Morris had his top three over the weekend. It did not include Tennessee, so he's not coming back. Austin Pope announced yesterday that he told Jeremy Pruitt that he's returning to Tennessee It's just that he won't be returning to play for Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee.
Yeah, Jeremy. I mean, I don't know what Jeremy Pruitt said at the time, because, I mean, he had to have known somewhat of the temperature. You know, all of us are on the outside looking in, and, you know, you get one report one day, and you're thinking that everything is okay, and then Chris Lowe with his report a couple of weeks ago, you're thinking, ooh, this is getting a little dicey for Jeremy Pruitt, and then as the week went on, oh, Jeremy Pruitt hops on a plane and flies out to the West Coast to talk to Henry Toa with a couple of other coaches on the coaching staff. So he had to believe, I don't know when the tipping point was, but he had to believe up until just very recently that I've got this. I've got at least one more year. I can salvage this and we can try and turn this around. And then that rug was obviously pulled out from underneath him.
Maybe so. He may have also known the writing was on the wall. I mean, that
but are you really
me.
Flying all the way to the West Coast for that? Or are you just kind of biding your time until the decision's made? I don't know. Coaches are different. They're different personalities.
If you're going to try to get your money, better do your job. Right?
I guess so. I would have just been like, can we speed this timeline up a little bit? Do I have to wait till Monday to get fired? Holy smokes. And then you open up another Pandora's box with that little joke. It's, okay, how much is Tennessee really going to be on the hook for with making this
joking.
Decision?
I wasn't joking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm. If you're going to have a fight on your hands for money, which either he may have coming up or may have already taken place, then you better be doing your job. And to Jeremy Pruitt's credit, he got Hendon Hooker to transfer from Virginia Tech to come play quarterback at Tennessee, and was a part of the process for, I guess, getting Big Cat Brian. I say I guess there. I don't know. Maybe Kevin Steele just took care of that one, and Shelton Felton. But I mean, who knows? But it could be both. It could be that Jeremy Pruitt thought he had a good chance to be the coach, but also knew there was a good chance that he could be out. I mean, he's the one that's behind the scenes. He can't be completely blind to all this, right?
I would think not. I would think at some point in time, either you're getting word from your agent or just reading the writing on the wall when you're walking into the facility. Like, this isn't the most comfortable environment to be in right now. I wonder if something's up. And then you also know what you did.
If we knew 2 weeks ago that Jeremy Pruitt could be out, then Jeremy Pruitt had to know a couple weeks ago. Now, he's in the position, so maybe he's confident he could get out of it, sure. But
also, whatever these level one violations are, he would have to have some working knowledge of what exactly was going on. I mean, they just interviewed him last week. They interviewed him last Wednesday. So he was privy to some details that we don't yet know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless he's just been listening to Shaggy lyrics the whole time. Wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Heather, would you prefer I do say this or don't when we look at Tennessee's football results going back to 2008? Would you rather I just keep this information to myself?
Is this your pop-up fact of the day? I object. Burton McKinnish Law.
Yeah, Burton McKinnish Law may not approve of this, but this comes courtesy Matt Brown, longtime writer. He covers the history of college football. From 1930 to 2007, Tennessee's winning percentage, 71.9. That was fourth best. It's pretty good. Since
really
2008,
good.
Tennessee is tied for 75th in the nation in winning percentage, 48.8. That's less good.
Yeah. So it's nothing that we haven't known. It's just a different way of labeling it. I mean, we've all known that what we've been watching over the past 15 years has been subpar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listeners right now, Josh, thanks. We know. We've seen some of the games. They're broadcast on TV. Thank you. We used to be able to go to Neyland Stadium to watch them. That's the pop-up fact. I apologize on behalf of Burton McKinnish Law. Offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. Family law and divorce, criminal defense, DUI, Social Security, and personal injury. All people are equal before the law. A good attorney is what makes the difference. Trust Burton McKinnish Law. Visit burtonmckinnish.com. Your reaction coming up, 656-9900. Bruce Feldman of The Athletic coming up at 2:30. Right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Tennessee football, everybody. We will work your calls in here this segment. We're going to talk to Bruce Feldman of The Athletic coming up at 2:30. You won't want to miss that conversation. Bruce is one of the best, so look forward to getting his take on where things are with Tennessee. He came on the show the day that John Curry was fired and Philip Fulmer replaced John Curry as the athletic director, and in some ways I feel like that was 10 years ago, and in some ways I feel like that was yesterday that we were having that conversation, and now we will have this one. But want to get your reaction as well. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward, 656-9900. Of course, coverage will continue this afternoon with Sports Talk, with where things are headed. Jeremy Pruitt is out as Tennessee athletic director. Let's get Joel on Sports.
Hey, guys. There's been speculation, you know, is he gone? Is he not gone? And I remember whenever Steele was hired, there were some media members who said, don't fool yourself, Jeremy Pruitt made this hire. And that, to me, took out all of the doubt, thinking, I just said, okay, he's back next year. But now I question, can those folks, and I trust the folks that said that, but did they really think that Pruitt made that hire? Because looking at it now from hindsight, it's pretty obvious that he really didn't make that hire. And if he did, he was told to make that hire. So were they asked by the university to make that statement to keep the public from knowing, or is that conspiracy theory, or am I crazy, or what? And I just want to know your all's opinion of that Steele hire, because it looks too like it was too contemplated that, hey, this guy's going to come in and be the interim. But
yeah, and Joel, I think you bring up some really interesting points. And the bottom line is, I can't tell you definitively who made the Kevin Steele hire. Was it a publicity stunt? Did somebody go over their heads? I do think that Jeremy Pruitt was working the job up until he was let go. You know, I really do think he was trying to get that year four and try to give himself an opportunity to right the ship, so to speak, and prolong his tenure here at the University of Tennessee. But I can't definitively tell you who exactly hired Kevin Steele and what the motives were behind that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting. I just think it's all these coaching searches and fires and all this stuff. It's absolutely interesting. It's annoying, but it's almost as entertaining as the football has been for the last while. So, but I appreciate your time. Enjoy the show. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Joel. I mean, from an entertainment standpoint, I would have to think this provides more than what the football has often been, which is unfortunate. Let's get Jay's call next on Sports 180. Hey, Jay, thank you for calling in. Your thoughts on Tennessee situation.
First, Josh, I want to say congratulations to your Everton. They're finally competing, and that's nice to see. The question I have for you, with the state of the program being what it is, if Gus Malzahn was given the phone call, who I think would be a great hire, would he even entertain that phone call?
Well, he might entertain, but the Kevin Steele dynamic is obviously one that would cause me, and I think a lot of other people already, to point out that that's probably not the direction you go.
Yeah, I think,
or
that's
that they will end up going
the fly in the ointment, so to speak.
I just think that'd be like winning the lottery with the way the program is right now if they could get him here.
I agree.
Yeah, in all honesty, I mean, it has so many parallels to Rick Barnes being fired at Texas, where it was just, okay, you've been here too long. What have you done for me lately? It didn't look that good, but it would obviously be an instant upgrade to anybody that they've hired. I mean, Gus Malzahn is better as of right now than everybody they have hired, including Lane Kiffin. Now, Lane Kiffin might end up surpassing him, but we'll see how all that plays out. But Gus would have, I mean, head-to-head, he would have beat out Lane. He would have beat out Derek Dooley. He would have beat out Butch Jones. He would have beat out Jeremy Pruitt. So I think there's a lot of parallels you can draw to those two situations.
Well, going back to the Lane departure, back to the Josh and Will days, they'll all confirm that I've been asking for Gus Malzahn for over a decade now. You guys have a great day.
Hey,
I can confirm.
Yeah.
Jay, thanks for calling.
He's got great taste in names, and apparently Jay just likes a sweater vest. I'm here for
there
it.
You go.
You know me. I'm all about the Gus bus.
Absolutely.
My kid's name is Gus. It could be foreshadowing, you know, for what's to come in the future.
Well, let's see how it averages out, but I don't know. There might be five more coaching searches to go, and your Gus could be in play. We'll see. 656-9900 is the phone number. Duke, you're up next on Sports 180. Hey, Duke, thoughts on Tennessee right now?
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Hey, doing great.
Hey, just a couple of things. One with Kevin Steele, it's pretty obvious, why a few of the players have changed their mind over the last few days. He's gone there, and, you can kind of see it with the Auburn guys transferring in. This can't be news to these people. I mean, they had to have, had some sort of, heads up before, they make a trip to the West Coast to talk to HT, and then, and then you see Pope coming back into the fold. There had to be some sort of, information that got out to the players ahead of time. But on the, from a coaching standpoint, I live in South Carolina, so I've been watching Jamie Chadwell's, career since he started. He was the head coach at North Greenville when my daughter was at school up there several years ago. That dude and his staff are absolutely amazing, and UT would be blessed to get him if they could. And he's a local product. The dude grew up in East Tennessee, so he would be a perfect fit for that job, and he doesn't come with any baggage. So, that's just my thoughts, but I hate to see, what's going on. We're going to go through another couple of years of, craziness unless we get the right guy in place. But it has to be a right AD first and then the head coach. So that's my thoughts.
Good deal. Hey, Duke, we appreciate you calling. Thank you. With Jamie Chadwell, quickly, he is very well thought of. They had a terrific season at Coastal Carolina. One question, I'd say the number one question that will come with his name will be, is he has no connection to a big-time program.
Yep.
And Tennessee is a big-time program that comes with a lot of work, not just in trying to catch up to Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, but it goes beyond that. Would that be a holdup? That's something to ask Bruce Feldman of The Athletic when we come back. He wrote earlier about the search, names to consider, and Peyton Manning's involvement. We'll ask Bruce about that coming up next here on Sports 180 with 30 minutes to go until Sports Talk begins on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Late.
This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We have 30 minutes to go. At 3 o'clock, Tennessee is holding a press conference. President Randy Boyd, Chancellor Donnie Plowman, and Athletic Director Philip Fulmer. Jeremy Pruitt is out as Tennessee's head coach. Reports of multiple Level 1 violations found within the internal investigation. What does this mean for the future of the program? What we know it means right now is that Jeremy Pruitt is out. I would imagine other coaches will be as well on Tennessee's coaching staff, and we'll see what Tennessee does trying to find the replacement for Jeremy Pruitt. As we welcome to the show Bruce Feldman, who covers college football for TheAthletic.com. He has a story up that I recommend you go check out talking about Peyton Manning's involvement in the upcoming coaching search and candidates to consider. Bruce, thank you for taking time on short notice to join us. Here we are again with this conversation with Tennessee football, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy how it keeps happening there. This program just cannot get out of its own way. And I feel like, we kind of all saw this coming, though, with Jeremy Pruitt over the last few weeks, and I don't think anybody's really surprised. But at the same point, it's just like, man, where do they turn next?
I'm wondering, how much damage do you think, Bruce, has been done to the Tennessee brand, and how can the administration minimize that moving forward?
It's a good question. I think a lot has been done. If you go back to when Lane Kiffin got the job and left after that year, it wasn't that far removed from Tennessee having been really good. But now it's been a long, long time since Tennessee has been very good. And instead, Tennessee football has basically been known as like the poster child for vacant leadership and complete dysfunction, right? And just the aspect of that Jeremy Pruitt, not that long ago, they gave him an extension for an 8-5 season, and they made their situation only that much worse, right? So now with them, trying to fire him for cause, what you have is now a dark cloud over a program that's not only floundering, now there's a dark cloud of an NCAA concern that whoever they try to hire is now going to have to go, all right, I got to be really cautious about what I'm getting into, because I suspect it's going to be even more of an uphill climb than it would be just in terms of Now, you don't have an AD, we don't think. You don't you don't know who your boss really is. You're in a conference that has a lot of heavyweights. I mean, there's Clemson is not in the conference, but you still have to recruit against them. I mean, it's a really, really rough job. And I think it's in some ways, even if Jeremy Pruitt can say, look, we have better players now in the program than we did when I took over, I still think it's in worse shape now because of now you got this dark cloud of the NCAA and you have no clear leadership above you.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman, theathletic.com. I recommend you go read his piece earlier today on the coaching search candidates that Tennessee could consider. You also noted in that piece, Bruce, that Peyton Manning will have a big role in the search process and great influence on who Tennessee's next head coach will be. What do you think is the significance there, and what does the road look like for Tennessee moving forward now, trying to figure out what it does to replace Jeremy Pruitt?
Well, Josh, on one hand, the guy who I thought would have had the best chance to come in there, hit the ground running, and actually get them to be a top 20 program again, I don't think they can hire now. And that is Hugh Freeze. Now, I know Hugh Freeze grew up and dreamed of being the head coach at Tennessee long before he ever coached a college game. But Hugh Freeze got forced out at Ole Miss. And now the idea that Tennessee could consider hiring a coach who is a really good coach, who obviously has done a really good job at Liberty, but with his NCAA path, I don't see how, even if Tennessee leadership can look past the optics, I don't see how Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, would. So there's that piece of it. Now, if Peyton Manning can recruit some guy that he feels really strongly behind and thinks is the right man at the right time, like about a week ago, I had reported that Bill O'Brien, who had been the Houston Texans head coach and GM, was in line to become the next offensive coordinator at Alabama. And all signs, even Nick Saban's comments a couple days later basically confirmed that that was going to happen. But if there is a way where, look, Bill O'Brien took over a program that was in a brutal place, and that was when he took over Penn State in the wake of the Jerry Sandusky scandal. Now, I have no idea if Bill O'Brien would have the stomach to want to jump into Tennessee now after that experience and then after, just such a tumultuous exit from Houston and the NFL to say, okay, now I'm going to jump right back into a situation that could be every bit as exhausting and kind of soul-crushing if it's this, when he has the prospect of becoming the next Alabama offensive coordinator. Where, by the way, he's seen everyone like Steve Sarkisian just got the Texas job and seen everybody who's come from there has come out much better than when they entered. So where he could probably be there a year or two and get a much better job than this one. I mean, then there's the other side of it where you're like, do they just take an up-and-coming guy and roll the dice on a Jamie Chadwell, who is from the state of Tennessee and has done a really good job at Coastal Carolina but has never worked in a Power 5 program? And then, like I said, it's a roll of the dice. But at this point, anything is a roll of the dice for them. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they try to pick up some of the pieces when their leadership is so fragmented.
Bruce, and speaking of the fragmented leadership, they also have to make an athletic director hire. You touched on this a second ago, but with looming potential NCAA violations, with how much the athletic department is losing revenue-wise and the challenges financially they could be facing, how difficult will it be for Tennessee to go out and find a top-notch athletic director, given the last time Tennessee was hiring an athletic director was under very uncharacteristic and not normal circumstances?
Yeah, I think there'll be people who will be interested because they'll look and say, on one hand, look, I could be the one who took over this the dumpster fire of all dumpster fires and helped build it up and leave it at a better place. So I think there'll be some up-and-coming maybe group of five ADs who would be curious about this job. In some sense, as an AD, it probably has a little more appeal than maybe it may to a lot of college head coaches. But look, I mean, this is the same place that turned around and let Phil Fulmer take it over when he had no real experience in this process, and only seemed to make it that much worse with how it, and he was the one who handpicked Jeremy Pruitt. And at the end of what was a complete clown show of a coaching search, and now here we are. So I think there will be people who will say, okay, how are you going to convince me that, all right, I'm putting my career on the line to come take this job. Now, obviously there's a lot of resources there, but I think Tennessee, what it ends up now being is a place where instead of offering, which is the normal where you'd 5 years for a head coach, you may have to offer 7 or 8. And so they've just become so much more on the hook of what they're going to have to invest. And it's an even bigger gamble then. I mean, it's kind of crazy how such bad leadership has led them into such a huge ditch that they're in right now.
Yep. Again, Bruce Feldman, TheAthletic.com, covering college football. There was also the idea, Bruce, of Kevin Steele being the interim coach, wait until the upcoming fall, go through another cycle, and then look for a new coach for the long term. What do you think of that idea of waiting and not jumping into a coaching search right now?
I think that's a hard sell for, you know, Josh, think about it this way. We've just seen a year where we're all in a pandemic, but for especially college football players, the sacrifice they've been asked is way different and way more involved than it's ever been asked for before. And everybody, it sounds like, you know, handled it about as best as possible there. But now you're going to basically tell players, by the way, Kevin Steele didn't recruit them. You know, they had no, you know, unless he did when, you know, they were also considering Auburn, you know, I guess the Big Cat Bryant notwithstanding, there's probably, for the most part, though, he is an outsider to them. Now, this was also, by the way, in some ways it was like a little bit of a mulligan for Phil Fulmer, because that was one of the other guys he almost hired along with Mel Tucker when he did hire Jeremy Pruitt. But so basically then you'd be saying, hey, we got this guy who, by the way, was like 1-31 in the Big 12 a long time ago. He would be the guy for 2021. I think that would be such a tough ask for the players where you're saying, hey, we know 2020 was this excruciating year and it obviously did not go well on the field, and now we're going to say, hey, stick with us another year. Because the idea that you would have an interim coach for a full calendar year just seems like it just seems like such a backwards move. But I guess the only thing it does do is it buys you a lot more time. But it buys you time into what? Because are you going to know everything that could be there with the NCAA in that time? I would doubt it. The NCAA doesn't seem like it works that fast. And the other thing is, next year is the year everybody expects to be all this like widespread coaching turnover. So all of a sudden now you're going to have a lot more jobs and probably better situations that will come open that you're going to be competing against. So that solution of Kevin Steele as the interim for a year seems really misguided, but so does almost everything else Tennessee football has done over the last like decade.
Yeah, Bruce, we were joking earlier. There's no good options left on the table. There are just options. But like as you were talking, I'm sitting here in my mind listening to what you're saying, and I'm like, are they going to just end up hiring Kevin Steele to take this job long term? I mean, at some point in time, he's also going to sign some sort of contract. And would a new coach be saddled with that contract and have to keep it? I just feel like the Kevin Steele hire last week might end up handicapping what they're able to do. Am I reading the room wrong?
You know what? logic would say you are, but logic doesn't seem to exist in Tennessee football land right now. It's just so bizarro. Like, the whole idea that search played out the way it did and they ended up with Fulmer in charge and all this. And look, I give credit to the fans because they buy in and they've, you know, for the most part, have kind of, hey, you know, like I know some Tennessee fans that I'm close to who bought into Derek Dooley when everything else was telling you, what are you, crazy? This is not the guy. And, you know, so they've ridden the roller coaster every step. I just don't know how you get to that point where, like, even as we're talking about it, I'm like it's one thing if Auburn had just pushed through and said, hey, we're going to keep Kevin Steele because he's been here and this and that. And you know, I just think for Tennessee then to make that move is like, that was basically, it feels like that's Fulmer's mulligan again. I don't know. I mean, again, it just, Tennessee, like, it's one of these things where they just cannot get out of their own way at this point. And, you know, their ideas and whatever they're doing, it's clearly, you know, it's clearly backwards at this point. And to, if it goes in that direction again, and that's, I'm not saying that as like Kevin Steele is, you know, not capable of winning or not, you know, it's just like, if that is where they go now, it just seems like they're going to be make it it'll be even that much more of an uphill climb for a year from now, 2 years from now. I don't know how you recruit that way if you're them.
Yep, I agree with that. Bruce, we'll get you out of here. Have we missed anything, though? Anything else that you would leave us with before we let you go?
No, I mean, again, I'm curious to see how they explain some of this, and I'm really curious to see how much of an NCAA hole they're going to be in, right? Like, I do think, you know, Jamie Chadwell is not a crazy off the wall, like, ooh, they hired Jamie Chadwell. Jamie Chadwell just had a really good year, and he's from the state of Tennessee. And I think he would listen. You know, I think Lance Leipold has won a bunch of D3 national titles, done a really good job at Buffalo. Vandy really liked him, but ended up going for somebody, you know, who had big ties to the program in Clark Lee. I don't think, like, those guys, while they're not sexy names, those guys are good football coaches. You know, there are good football coaches. I mean, I don't see, like, Tony Elliott, you know, the Clemson offense coordinator, listening and going, yeah, that's where I want to take my shot, is go to Tennessee. But, you know, there are guys, I mean, as I mentioned in the story in The Athletic, there are guys out there that I think are really good football coaches that, quite honestly, you know, are further along as coaches than what they just hired in Jeremy Pruitt. It's just a question of, you know, how does this place and how does the leadership think, and, you know, ultimately how involved, you know, is this going to get for them?
Yeah, I wonder, those names that you wrote about, they're good coaches, as you're talking about, and well thought of. Is it good for them to take on everything that comes with the Tennessee job, and is it good for Tennessee to hire someone that may not be ready to take all that on? You know, it's that's just part of the problem that Tennessee's facing, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, Josh, in Lance Leipold's case, I mean, he was a candidate at Illinois. I think he's a guy in his late 50s where I do not think he will leave the program worse than he found it. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been. He has no ties. I talked to another football coach about this morning, and we talked about Leipold as a possible candidate as well as Chadwell. And I said, yeah, the only thing is he has really no ties and is not seen as like an SEC guy. And this coach made the point going, that's probably what they need, because when they keep going to something that feels very comfortable, they keep screwing it up. And, you know, maybe there is something in there for that, because that is a guy who would be very, you know, outside the comfort zone. I think he is somebody who would probably listen, as opposed to some of these other names you'll hear where like, why would that guy take that job? He wouldn't have taken that job, you know, 7 years ago when Tennessee stock was a lot higher than it is right now.
Go read Bruce's article earlier today, theathletic.com. Great college football coverage there. Check out his books as well, Flip the Script. His latest, Meat Market, is one of my favorite sports books I've read. Hey, Bruce, really appreciate the time on short notice. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Bruce Feldman, The Athletic, right here on Sports 180. We have information from Tennessee, not only on the firing of Jeremy Pruitt, but the other two assistant coaches who have been fired for cause. We'll tell you their names, where things stand with Tennessee as they get ready for a press conference at 3 o'clock when we come back on 99.1, The Sports Animal. All right, Heather, final segment here. We will have Tennessee's press conference at 3 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. A letter has been released that Tennessee has delivered to Jeremy Pruitt. He will be fired for cause effective 5 o'clock tomorrow, according to the University of Tennessee. Tennessee is also firing assistant coaches Brian Niedermeyer and Shelton Felton. They're being fired for cause, according to Tennessee. According to the University of Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt has left Tennessee in a situation where, quote, your failures are likely to lead to significant penalties to the university and has jeopardized the eligibility of our student athletes. That is according to the University of Tennessee in its letter to Jeremy Pruitt, with the firing of Brian Niedermeyer, who was the National Recruiter of the Year a few years ago.
Yep.
And then Shelton Felton, who was in his first year at Tennessee. He was influential in getting Big Cat Bryant to Tennessee. He committed to Tennessee on Saturday. And Felton was hired along with Jimmy Brumbaugh in the offseason heading into this year. Brumbaugh was fired back in the fall. The Jeremy Pruitt era was such a tremendous failure, and it looks like it could cause problems into the future. That is the expectation from the University of Tennessee. They could very well have a battle on their hands over the buyout and what Tennessee will or will not owe Jeremy Pruitt, all while trying to find a new athletic director and head coach.
Yeah, what could the potential looming violations from the NCAA do to the coaching candidate pool? I think it shrinks it. I think that's kind of a no-brainer, as you know, Bruce Feldman just a second ago pointed out. Well, if you're in NCAA hot water, can you really go and hire a guy like Hugh Freeze? So that would be one name removed from the pool. We'll see. He's actually trending right now in the United States, just under Jeremy Pruitt on my Twitter timeline. But also the Pruitt situation, how does that affect Philip Fulmer's legacy moving forward?
It damages it.
And it's definitely a black mark on a legacy. And that was one of my concerns with him being the athletic director a few years ago. It's like, man, you just can't make a wrong decision in this business and come out unscathed. And after the first parting of the ways between Tennessee and Philip Fulmer, that was so emotional for so many parties, that now to be right back in this situation, it's really hard to grasp.
It is. So we'll see what happens next. But Tennessee is in a bad situation. There's no way to sugarcoat this. This is bad for the program. It's bad for the university. And it will make it more challenging to get the ship righted into the future. But it's a conversation we've had before. It's a conversation that will continue this afternoon on Sports Talk and in the upcoming days. Thank you for being with us here on Sports 180. We have the press conference coming up next on the Sports Animal.